Macmillan Audio presents Secrets of the Chocolate House by Paula Braxton. Read for you by Marisa Carlin. Do not tell secrets to those whose faith and silence you have not already tested. Queen Elizabeth I. Do nothing secretly, for time sees and hears all things and discloses all. Sophocles. Chapter 1. From her viewing point at the top of the hill, the landscape of Wiltshire fell away into the hazy distance of the cooling autumn afternoon. Xanthi shielded her eyes against the lowering sun, a breeze disturbing her golden spiral curls. The hills and slopes of the countryside were flattened by her lofty perspective, the distant villages and farmhouses appearing impossibly tiny, as if they could never hold real people. As she listened to the whirring call of the curlew, the rising notes of its distinctive song seemed to sound an alarm, a warning against the apparent peacefulness of the setting. For secrets hid among the long shadows of the dwindling day, in the dark copses atop the stout hills, within the stone walls of the old farmhouses, beneath the flagstone floors of the ancient churches. And secrets were anchored to their hiding places only with the steadfastness of trust and the weight of danger. She breathed in the scents of the wiry grass and gorse of the hill, letting her eyes focus on the far distance of the vista before her. It was not hard to imagine the view as it would have been 4 centuries earlier. Little change had taken place. The settlement boundaries had crept outward. Here and there, a minor industrial estate sat unobtrusively, quietly industrious. If she listened hard, she could discern the swoosh and rumble of traffic on the main road that crossed the valley. But there were no motorways here, no cities. Small communities inhabited the ancient landscape, all concerned with families, with survival, with their own intimate futures and worries. What was harder to imagine were the invisible veins of energy that crisscrossed the verdant scenery like so many electricity cables, buried deep. But ley lines were infinitely more powerful, their influence stretching not only across the miles, but over centuries. Xanthi knew now how to look for them. She found a church spire off to her left in the east, and then, narrowing her eyes, turned to another set in a village on the river. Another half turned to the west, and she found an ancient burial site marked by a treeless mound. The line would cut through these potent points on the map of human habitation, and in turn, be bisected by another line, drawn between 2 further points of power, and 2 more beyond that, and so on, cross-hatching the whole of the countryside, a network of energy, a web of timeless connection. Xanthi knew only too well the transformative strength of that energy in certain places. Places such as the old blind house at the bottom of the garden behind the little shop of found things. Not for the first time, she wondered how different things might have been had she and her mother chosen a different town in which to start their antiques business. The chalk horse drawing Xanthi was standing next to was so large that had she been careless enough to step onto it, her Doc Martens would not have covered even one of its mighty hooves. The scale of the drawing, so artfully cut into the green turf, revealing the bright whiteness of the chalk below, always impressed her. The people who had taken the decision to carve the hill figure hundreds of years before she came to live in Wiltshire could not have known how long it would stand sentinel over the landscape. Xanthi found it heartening that the horse had survived weather, farming, battles, and the march of time itself.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?